All right, everybody. Welcome on back here to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. Brother Carlos here. We just want to thank you guys for coming on out. It is always good to see those who are not too tired to fellowship for a Friday night discipleship class. Amen. So real quick, just praise report. As you all already know, I just like to go ahead and share with you guys the good news. We went up to Ontario, California, and we fellowshipped with Brother David Daniels from Chick Publications. He gave us another awesome tour of the whole facility, the warehouse. They were actually making tracks this time, and we had a great time to just hang out with him for about an hour, right, Katie? It was about an hour. Just asked him some usual Bible questions, history of the Bible stuff, translation, and the awesome thing about Brother David Daniels is he could read the Greek and Latin and all that stuff and help us understand better questions. So I was so happy to have spent time with him. So as of now, if you guys can notice there on your pews, you should see a small little booklet. I know I bought this for you guys a long time ago, but now you're going to get another one in case you lost it. This is called the King James Bible Companion. Brother David did a phenomenal job to give you a mini dictionary. There you go, to help you when you're studying your Bible. Sometimes words are a little difficult to read. And I also gave some of you guys a long time ago a Define King James Bible. That's also to help you to understand certain words. And so here's another dictionary helps to you guys as well. And then number two, there are brand new Spanish Bibles on your pew. I want to encourage you to grab one, take one, and begin to read, if you will, study that. From now on, I'm just going to go ahead and incorporate that because we have our Bible study software. It has the King James Bible and the Reina Valera Gomez. We're going to make it easier for our online crowd. And I just want to be able to have everything, if you will, synonymous with our teaching to parallel from the King James Bible easily. So please enjoy that. That's my gift to you. And we have a couple of extras. So if you want to use one for a Spanish speaker in your family when you're ministering to them or teaching them, please do so. I've concluded personally after studying the original manuscript of the 1569 and the 1602 with five different Spanish translations, and then Brother David Daniel's exposition and answering to clarify certain questions, that the Reina Valera Gomez 2010 is solid. It is trustworthy. It is reliable to help with your King James Bible reading, but in Spanish, so you can have the same rendering. And as we were talking about certain words and their translations, he confirmed the particular word in Galatians chapter 3 for me that really changed the ordeal from the one that I was moving to further, which was the 1602 VP, Valera Purificada. There is one word in there that makes a big deal. And Brother David Daniels is able to confirm that from the Greek to English to Spanish. The Reina Valera Gomez has it right, and the other one didn't. So we were both like, oh, we can't believe they did it. And I said, okay, now that confirms. That's why I want to be able to use this one out, because it preserves the King James rendering in a particular verse in Galatians chapter 3. I can't find it right now, but if anybody who's interested, my fellow theological geeks out there who want to study, I'd be more than happy to show you everything that I've been doing. It's been awesome. So you guys know Brother Carlos likes to study, read, and so there you go. So I am going to answer to God, and I am trusting, and I am more than confident now to tell you we can help build our Spanish-speaking believers in the faith with this particular version, and also we can help disciple people as well. So there you have it, my gift to you, all those Bibles I bought to bless our church, and whenever we get Spanish speakers to come, now we have a lot of material to help them, and then I have my bilingual to back me up as well, so that way I can minister out there in the streets as well. Okay, so other than that, guys, I want to thank you for your prayer. We've been having a good week, my wife and I, a little tired, but here we are, want to hang out with our church family, minister to you guys as well. As always, we're going to open up with quick announcements, so that way nobody, if you will, is confused to the future. Remember, tomorrow, soul winning, 10 o'clock, please join us. I already have one member that's going to be able to join us, amen, and so please join us, join your church family when you can. Let's all obey Jesus when he told us to go into the world to preach the gospel. 10 to 12, door knocking, take a little lunch break, go downtown to the pier for the public outreach, and about 2:30. Again, please join your church when you can to represent Jesus, evangelize the lost, and we can do it corporately and we can reach more people, but we need more people. Amen. So my wife and I, as you guys know, we're trying our best. We can't do it alone. We could reach more people, but you just have to be willing of your own free will to want to get that body up in the morning and say, body, I know you're tired, but we're going to obey Jesus today. Hey, body, I'm not going to start. I'm not going to allow you to, if you will, stay up all night to be so tired in the morning to just go tell somebody about Jesus. Body, I'm going to start disciplining you in the year 2023. Remember, church, what is our theme? Jesus gave his all, so we too should give our all for him. Amen. So let's start making some different changes in our life, guys, individually, to just do a little bit more for Christ. So whatever that means for you personally, privately, between you and God, I just want to encourage you, remember the message, let's live sacrificial Christianity. So the body, not comfortable. The money, it's going certain places. Why don't we just start readjusting to do more for the Lord? So 10 o'clock, join your church, support your pastor and his wife. Let's go out there, witness, and let's continue to glorify God together as a family. And then we'll be back here Sunday church as well. Looking forward to some things that are going to happen in the future. Brother Edgar Marquez from Fontana, Sister Eileen met him back in the day when she traveled with us. He's going to be coming down in about a month or two with his young people. So all those awesome people she met, they're going to come and soul win with us on a Saturday to bless our church, just to help our church to canvas, reach more people. So I'll keep you guys in tune when that day is going to be. So that way, if it's a month or two out, some of you who work on Saturdays, maybe you can try to get that day off just to be a part of that great outreach. We'll have lunch, everything. So I'm thinking we're going to redo the whole East Side neighborhood and probably not get out on that one Saturday just to keep witnessing to our immediate region, if you will. And then our friend, Brother Angel from Imperial Beach, next Saturday, we're going to go meet him to give him the door hangers to bless him as well. So keep that in prayer. If you want to go with my wife and I after we're done soul winning, just to go fellowship with Brother Angel, encourage the spirit, you're invited. Come down. We're going to have some dinner next Saturday to give him the door hangers as well. Amen. Just to be a blessing. So other than that, I just want to thank you for coming here tonight. Everybody doing okay? Okay. It's a little sick. Amen. Okay. Allergies. We'll keep you in prayer. How about you guys? You guys doing okay? Okay. It's good to see you. The coffee, a little black, hey, brother? Coffee's good? You didn't make coffee? What? Oh, there's no coffee? Oh, yeah, there's coffee. Get some coffee, guys. It's Friday Night Discipleship. It's informal, guys. You already know that. Tonight is it's super cool. But I respect y'all conviction, amen. All right, guys. Here we go. Part one. Remember, we're going to do the Book of Life study, part one. So here's how you can access the material. You can study. You can do some homework for your church. Anytime, you can look up the material that we're going to study because I already did the study and I published it open to the world to review, give me feedback. Here's how you get there. Church website, click on study logs, study blogs. Scroll down on the study blogs tab, okay? Load more entries. Load more entries. The Book of the Living, do you see there? You're going to click on that Book of the Living, and that's where we're going to get the material for our study this evening. So for those of you who have been following along with us within our Friday Night Discipleship class, that's what we were discussing last Friday. We've been talking about the Book of Life. Remember that? The Book of Life. And so tonight, we're going to pick up on that from where we left off, and we're just going to talk about this and dive into a little bit more in detail. So if you have a Bible, do me a favor. Go ahead and turn there to Psalm chapter 69, verse 28. And Malachi 3:16, if you don't have a Bible, you can look up to the screen. But I encourage you, let's try our best to keep working out our spiritual muscles by turning our Bibles together so that way you guys can begin to grow spiritually stronger. Amen. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, I thank you now for the Friday Night Discipleship class. Thank you for the few that are here, Lord, that they just want to keep studying, Lord. They want to dedicate their mind to learn more of your word, God, to change their life, to learn more about your love for them so that way they can change. I hope, God, that's their prayer tonight, that they came to learn more about Jesus and what they can do for him in return more for his glory. So, God, whatever that means for all of our individual members, God, they know those things in the privacy of their heart, Lord, of more sacrificial Christianity that they can do for you, Father. I know, my wife knows, so we can do a little bit more for you to live sacrificially. So God, would you remind us tonight that when we are studying this Book of Life, that, Lord, you so graciously added our names to the Lamb's Book of Life, that book, God, that is going to preserve our soul salvation for eternity. And God, that name can never be blotted, no matter what we do. So God, if we know that to be true, if we know that you are going to preserve our salvation, if we read the Bible intellectually to understand that there's a God in heaven right now who will love us unconditionally because of Christ, Father, would you provoke us tonight to consider to do a little bit more for your Son in return to just say thank you? If that's waking up in the morning earlier, if that's disciplining our liberties of fun with the world and things with family and friends so we can dedicate more time to soul winning, dedicate more time to discipleship for our church, dedicate more time to working with our church and doing certain tasks, God, to relieve me, whatever that means, Lord. I just pray tonight, God, that every member would examine their heart, God, so that way they can just ask you, Lord, what can I do more for you, Jesus? I know I can. Would you show me? And God, as they take that step of faith, may your Holy Spirit add that desire to them so that way they can have joy and contentment, that they wouldn't feel, if you will, robbed of happiness from liberties of video games and family time, but God, that you can actually tell them and may they feel that joy for their dedication to your Son's ministry. So God, tonight, I'm thankful that they came here tonight, Lord. That sure is a blessing. So Lord, prepare our hearts. And I pray for tomorrow's soul-winning outreach, God, that some of our members would be able to join us and help us to keep doing what we can for you, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Book of Life, part one. Let's do this. Psalm 69, verse 28. If you have a Bible, hope you have it open. Here's what the Bible says. Psalm 69, verse 28. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not be written with the righteous. Malachi 3:16, second verse there. The Bible says, then they that fear the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. So this article, again, just to reiterate, it is on your church website. You can look it up. I studied it. I have all the notes. We're going to go over it together. I encourage you throughout the week to study this, meditate upon it, give me your feedback so I know that the Bible is interesting to you, to pour out your heart, your mind, to set apart time to learn, to study. And so when we talk about the Book of Life, here's a good foundation to build on tonight. In a Bible study software, for example, you guys know I love to use Sword Searcher, and I've already offered anyone here tonight with a computer, if you want to study your Bible more efficiently, I will help you to download this. I believe it's the best software you can get for the budget. So here we have it. I'm just going to show you something very interesting you can do with a Bible study software. Now, you can do this for free on your Blue Letter Bible app. If you have a smartphone, other Bible study softwares, you can do this. All you got to do is type this in. Just type in Book of, and then put that little asterisk. See the little asterisk? And then you're going to search. And what that's going to do is it's going to find the exact phrasing or a built-in, in the module here, there's a built-in added filter. Look at what it says, find verses with exact phrase. So you can have the asterisk or you don't need it if you have a filter. So I'm going to remove it because I got it here. And then do search. And now look, every mention of that in your King James Bible where the Bible refers to the book of and then it gives you that book, it's mentioned here in 105 verses, 110 times. So now I'm just walking you guys through some basic study tools to teach you how Brother Carlos studies. So there you have it, 110 times and 105 verses in our King James Bible, the word book of. The first mention of the word book is in Genesis chapter 5, verse 1. So let's go ahead and read together. Genesis chapter 5, verse 1. Brother Carl is going to break in his new bilingual, amen. Genesis chapter 5, verse number 1. And there's also a study hermeneutic principle. What does that mean, Brother Carlos, hermeneutic? It's a fancy word for a discipline of studies of the Bible book, applying certain applications to your Bible methodology. So there's something called the principle of first mention. And what that means is that every time the Bible mentions something for the first time, it usually, not 100% of the time, but generally helps to define that term or that phrase or that topic throughout the remaining of the whole Bible. So let's just say for the example, the first time the word uses beginning. Look at the context, or God, or et cetera, any word. And then it usually refers to the same connotation throughout the remaining of the Bible. Not all, you got to study, but that's something called the principle of first mention. Well, in this particular case, there's nothing fancy, but here we have it, Genesis 5:1, the first mention of the word book of. And look at what it says here. This is the book of the generations of Adam, in the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. So that's the first mention of the word book of, and particularly, it is a specific book. That is a, if you will, a written history of Adam's generation, that is his offspring. And so there you have it. Other mentions of book of, for example, Exodus 24, verse number 7. Bible says here in Exodus 24, verse number 7, and he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people, and they said, all that the Lord hath said will we do and be obedient. So now let's say Brother Giovanni prepares a message, or maybe little Gibby, and whenever he refers to the covenant and the book, just looking at that verse will then begin to give you an idea of how to present that, which is what? All that the Lord said. There you have it. So now you can begin to teach a message. The book of the covenant is all that the Lord said. Real simple. See that? Real simple. So I'm just trying to help you guys out with some study ideas. Other mentions, if you will, of some unique phrases. I won't go through all these, but I'll just read them for you. You guys have it here on the screen. And I'm just going to go ahead and make it bigger for the online. Give me just 1 second so that way we can have it as well online. Here we have it. Stretch the screen. There we have it. Okay. So check this out. We have the book of the wars of the Lord, Numbers 21:14. We have book of this law, Deuteronomy 28:61. We have the book of the law, Deuteronomy 29:21. We have the book of the law of Moses, Joshua 8:31. Is not this written in the book of Jasher, Joshua 10:13? Now here's what's unique. God will record historically a prophet or someone that was included in writing a book, even though that particular book is not in your Bible, it is not in the canon of Scripture, but God made mention that that man wrote some history. And whenever you see a reference to a what we call a book that is not included in your canon, it's safe to say and assume it was not given by direct divine inspiration of God to be equated with his divine inspired word and hence preserved. But nevertheless, there are books that God has, if you will, referenced to in history for the nation of Israel to consider and to read, if you will. That's a part of their physical history. And here are some people that were recorders, if you will, over time. So is not this written in the book of Jasher? Jasher is obviously not in the Bible. That is in the, I think, if I'm not mistaken, apocryphal books, and we don't have that, if you will, in our Bible. So don't worry, we'll study more about that later. When you go out downtown with us, you may come across a Hebrew Muslim like Brother Carlos did, and you're going to have to discuss that one day. So that's why we study, guys. I'm telling you, you'll get that one question. It'll come, so keep coming. You'll learn. Those are called the apocryphal writings, but we'll talk about that. Okay, the book of the law of God, Joshua 24:26. Book of the Acts of Solomon, 1 Kings 11:41. The book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel, 1 Kings 14:19. Book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah, 1 Kings 15:7. Fellow spoke, I have found the book of the law, 2 Kings 22:8. The words of the book of the covenant, 2 Kings 32:2. The book of this covenant, 2 Kings 23:21. In the book of the Kings of Israel and Judah, 1 Chronicles 9:1. In the book of Samuel the seer, and in the book of Nathan the prophet, and in the book of Gad the seer. Three prophets mentioned by your God, 1 Chronicles 29:29. But whose book was part of your Canaan? Anybody? What? Anybody? First and second? Samuel. But you don't have Nathan, and you don't have Gad. But they wrote down some history. Isn't that cool? So Israel can consult them. But there you have it, guys. Recorded, not a part of the canon. All right. In the book of Nathan the prophet, in the prophecy of Ahijah the Shilonite, and in the visions of Edo the seer against Jeroboam the son of Nebat. Once again, three prophets Second Chronicles 9:29. See that, Brother Carlos? Made it easy for y'all. That's pretty cool stuff right there. So whoever, again, Nathan, he was alive during the time of David, King David's lineage. He wrote some history, but it wasn't divinely given in, if you will, inspiration. We will touch on that in the New Testament as well with Paul. Paul wrote other letters to the churches, but it wasn't given by divine inspiration. For free prayer, can anybody give me one example? Anybody out there from study purposes? Anybody out there? Who's been studying? Okay. How can we pray for you? Okay. All right. We will quickly pray for Brother Cordell. Amen. All right. Let's pray for Brother Cordell. Father, we thank you for Brother Cordell, Lord. Pray that you protect him this night on his work shift, Lord. Pray, God, that you'd keep his mind in peace, Lord, from the enemy, Lord. Anything, God, that might try to come through his thoughts, Lord. Keep his heart on Jesus Christ, the Word of God, meditating on Scripture. Lord, keep his physical body whole and safe and sound, God, from danger, from harm. And Lord, would you continue to use him, Lord God, for your son's glory, God. Continue to use his testimony as a story to help sinners out there that there is hope in Jesus Christ for what he's done for Brother Cordell. So Lord, we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you, brother. Thank you. Church. All right, free prayer. Anybody? Paul wrote a letter, New Testament, wasn't a part of the Canaan. Anybody have any idea what church he was writing to? Anybody out there? I give you a hint. Starts with the letter L. Okay, he wrote an epistle to the church at Laodicea, but it wasn't written and preserved in the scripture. Love you too, brother. God bless you.
I love you, brother. Thank you so much. I love this church. You guys are awesome. And I just want to say that, are we live?
We are.
All right, look, I'm going to tell you guys out there, man, if you don't know Jesus, you better know him. Because he saved a wretch like me. And I came a long way. Amen. So that's why I'm so happy and I'm so glad that Jesus saved me. He's real. Follow Carlos. No, don't follow him, but follow Jesus.
Yes, sir.
But listen to him.
Okay. Amen.
Listen to him. Right? Because he know what he's talking about. Amen.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you. Brother. God bless you. Love you too, man.
All right,
man. The church at Corinthian as well. The church at Corinth had an epistle written to them. Not preserved. So it's nothing new, if you will, if you just carefully study your Bible, that there were men that God used, but they still recorded, they were a recorder of history, and that's okay. But there you have it. In the book of Shemaiah the prophet, there's another one. See there? Shemaiah the prophet and Edo the seer concerning genealogies. So now that gives you an idea. What do you think Shemaiah wrote about? Anybody? Genealogy, 2 Chronicles 12:15. All right, we have the book of the law of the Lord, 2 Chronicles 17:9. They are written in the book of Jehu, the son of Hanani, who is mentioned in the book of Kings and Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 20:34. The book of the Kings, 2 Chronicles 24:27. The law in the book of Moses, 2 Chronicles 25:4. Written in the vision of Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, and in the book of the Kings of Judah and Israel, 2 Chronicles 32:32. Written among the sayings of the seers, 2 Chronicles 20:33-19. Who were the seers? What did they write? Well, that was important to Jewish history. So they had those guys' writings. They are written in the Lamentations. Who wrote the book of Lamentations? Where are my students at? Where are my studies at? I'll give you a quick hint. Starts with the letter J. Whoa, man, Gibby, you're getting some extra toppings tomorrow, brother. Extra toppings. Amen. Woo! Okay, next reference. The book of the records of thy fathers, so shall thou find in the book of the records, Ezra 4:15. I found a register of the genealogy of them which came up at the first and found written therein, Nehemiah 7:5-6. Almost done. In the book of the law of God, Nehemiah 8:18. So there you have it. Okay, so when Brother Joe's preparing his message, little Gibby's preparing his message, the book of the covenant, the book of the law, book of the law of Moses, the book of the law of God. So whose laws? God's. There you go. Laws. There you go. See, I'm making it real easy for y'all. All right. Book of the Chronicles, Nehemiah 12:23. Book of records of the Chronicles, Esther 6:1. Book of the Chronicles of the kings of Media and Persia. Those are those Gentile nations. They had their recorded history as well. Now, thus far, all the above mentioned are book of records, either of God's laws given Moses, kings of Israel and Judah, various prophets and Gentile kings and their interactions. So again, that's just my summary, if you will, of what we were discussing. But let's go back to Psalm 69, verse number 28 there. And let's now begin to dig a little bit deeper on this topic of the Book of the Living. Because what I'm going to show you, friend, is that the Book of Life, we're gonna get there. But notice, I'm building it up for you, and I'm leading you through the Bible so you can see that there are more than one books in the Bible. For free prayer, does anybody know what the word Bible even means? Anybody? There you go, Brother Joe, free prayer, extra toppings. Books, collection of books. So here's what's going to happen. Some people might say, well, the word Trinity is not in the Bible. Same thing with the word Bible. The word Bible's not in the Bible, but we all believe the Bible to be the Bible. So, yes, it's a collection of books. And as you guys can see, God makes mention and records the historical evidence that these books existed. And here you have it. All right, let's talk about this book, though. Psalm 69, verse number 28. The Bible says, starting there, verse number 28, let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not be written with the righteous. Here we have now, friend, the very first verse in the Bible that mentions the source of the book that is different than all the previous aforementioned books, the book of the living. So out of all the references in your Bible, the book of, and I gave you the list there, you can see it, this is the very first time now that we have a reference to anything regarding life or the connotation of a man's life or a creature's life or anything that is created that is in existence, the book of the living. Very first mention right there in your Bible. A good question moving forward is where and when does God make mention of this book of the living? The psalmist clearly had knowledge of this book in existence, of course, with the aid of the Holy Spirit. Could it be from this verse earlier mentioned? Also, side nugget, Brother Carl is going to hook you up. In Bible study search, it's important to remember Bible verse parallels. For example, words that are spelled the same or similar in other verse for exposition and cross-reference, that's another reason why I prefer the King James Bible due to its consistent parallels. So what am I going to give you an example of? Blot. So now let's go to use our Bible study software, because now we're going to give you guys a cool lesson on how to use it. So tonight, again, we're just teaching, nothing too fancy. Let's go ahead and go back here now. Let me go ahead and minimize the screen so we can go to the Bible study software. So now, I said you can use similar words, right? And you can cross-reference and parallel. So the word we're going to use is blot. So I'm going to go ahead and use blot. I'm going to put an asterisk, so that way you can do it on your smartphone for whatever Bible app you have. And now we're going to do the search. So now, here I have it, the word blot, or variations of that term blot. So if it's blotted, ED, blotting, ING, et cetera, your Bible software will search for every reference. Why is that important? Look at Exodus 32:32. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee. What does that say, church? Out of thy book, which thou hast written. Ooh, very cool now. So let's go back to our study. So far, we're just learning a little bit about Bible study software. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're learning a little bit about cross-referencing as we're building up our understanding of when God makes mention to the book of life or living. Exodus 32:32-33, yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, here's what Moses said, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book. Notice how I have that underlined on the study blog, which thou hast written. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, this is what God responded now, him will I blot out of my what? Book. So now what am I doing? I'm showing you now, guys, in your Bible, this is the first mention of the word blot. So in Psalm 69, when the psalmist is referring to the book of the living, blotting, or one's name being blotted out, you're not going to get that book living in Exodus. But you will get a book and blot referred to, and Moses now is the first one to have an understanding that God has a book. And who wrote that book? Which thou hast written. And then what did God say? Him will I blot out of my book. Awesome. So here in Exodus, it is the first mention of the term blot. Remember, various forms with the asterisk. And here, God made it known to Moses that he has authored a book, which is he specifically referred to as my book, where one may be blotted from. However, this is not synonymous with the law already delivered Moses. You know, the Ten Commandments, the law, the covenant, etc. This book and its contents are under God's control that seems to deal. Now, notice, Brother Carlos, I'm giving you now my perspective, obviously not dogmatic. This has nothing to do with salvation. This is not going to alter nothing, obviously, in the Bible. I'm just giving you the best of my study. That seems to deal with humanity on an individual basis in relation to whosoever hath sinned against me. So let me explain that. Remember, Moses said, God, if you don't forgive them, blot me, right? In other words, I'm willing to take the judgment of rebellious Israel. I will willingly sacrifice myself. I will take your condemnation, your judgment. Just please don't judge Israel. Don't judge them. And he asked God, God, blot me out of your book, which you written. But what did God say in return? Whosoever what? Whosoever hath sinned against me, him individually will I blot out. So that's why I said it seems to deal with humanity on a what? Individual basis when God said, whosoever hath sinned against me, which could be associated with the future context of New Testament revelation concerning souls that reject God, who will ultimately be sent to, not hell, right? See, brother, typo, hell, due to their sin rejection of him. Look at John 3:18 in your Bible. John chapter 3, verse number 18. Can I get a volunteer to read John chapter 3, verse 18? And again, tonight, for the next couple of Fridays, we're just going to have teaching. That's all. Just teaching, take our time. Anybody can ask a question, comment. Y'all already know, finding at deception. All right, John 3:18. Who can read that? John 3:18. And feel free to help, church, anybody else. Thank you. So the New Testament says anyone who does not believe in the name of the Son of God is under what? Anybody following? Condemnation. So Jesus said, whoever does not believe on me is condemned already. If God has a book, and a man's name is written in that book, and a man's name can be removed from that book, what do you think it has to have? What do you think it may deal with? Or what do you think is the parallel? Anybody? Anybody have any ideas? What's the parallel to that? What is the condition upon someone's name being removed? He says it right there. Just read carefully. I'm sorry? No, for what the first three words? He that believeth. So anyone who does not believe is, present tense, condemned. So whoever does not believe in Jesus Christ upon death, their name will be removed from the book of life. I'm going to show you that later. I'm just giving it to you ahead of time. But whoever believes in the Son of God, will their name be removed from the book? No, because they escape from the condemnation. Okay, John 3:36. Can I get someone else? Go ahead, John 3:36. Someone else. Someone else, someone else. Let's get some participation up in here. Let's get lively, amen. Popcorn, Gabby, how about let's make it more exciting. Popcorn. All right, Gio, John 3:36. There you have it. So once again, what is the condition of escaping the condemnation of God? What are the first three words again, Brother Joe? He that believeth. So belief, faith. If I have faith in God, particularly now when Jesus was teaching, I know I'm talking about the Old Testament reference of the Book of Living, but I'm just trying to parallel the principle. If a man believes in God, and a man responds to God in faith, his name will be preserved. In this context, however, clearly, in the Son of God, that's how a man can escape the condemnation that is present tense on him. And whoever rejects believing in the Son of God, they will still have the wrath of God, which is the condemnation, on him. So now notice the context of John 3. Mankind is condemned in the present tense due to their unbelief in God, particularly since the first advent of our Lord, that just means his first coming, believed that he is his son, and trust in the record of his gospel. Somebody, 1 John 5:10, somebody. 1 John 5:10. Go ahead and popcorn, Brother Joe. Eileen, 1 John 5:10. Yeah, nuggets and whatever that is. There you have it. So Jesus made it real easy. My Father sent me into this world to save you. Are you willing to trust God that he did that for you? No, I don't believe. I don't believe, Jesus, that you're the Son of God. I don't believe you're God incarnate. I reject your witness. According to the Holy Spirit, they are calling God a liar. And they remain under the condemnation and wrath of God due to their what? Unbelief. So remember, no one is going to hell for just simply sinning against God. That is, you're not necessarily going to be cast into hell because you're a fornicator, you're a drunkard, you're a liar. You're going to be sent to hell because you are rejecting that God's word, the Bible, is true, giving concerning the record that he gave of his son, that he is who he said he was. All right, let's keep now going on our study. Comment. Oh, comment. John, there is no John 23, my wife. Oh, you want to read that? Are you spiritual? Are you stirred right now, sis? Mama, is that what you're saying? Okay, where is that verse at? Where is the reference? John, there you go. 1 John 3:23, exactly. Very, 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 very similar. Okay, so now, let's go now to Numbers 5, 16 through 29. Numbers 5, 16 through 29. What are we talking about? We are talking about the book of life. We are going, starting from the book of Genesis onward, in reference, 1 John 2:23. Thank you, Sister Eileen. Amen. Numbers chapter 5, being a blessing, amen. She said, Sister Katie, check your verse, girl. That's it, amen. Numbers 5, let's turn our Bibles there. Let's go to verse 16. Remember the term blot. And in its context, that helps us to better understand the carrying out of this action when performed for visual representation, although this context is not directly related to the book, which can blot one's name. Okay, now let's go back to the Bible study software. Let me go ahead and give you guys a definition of blot. Well, before we go to the study software, how about this? Is there anybody tonight who would like to try to find in your dictionary the word blot? How about that, you guys? I'm so glad to see we're all actually doing this together. Praise the Lord. All right, go ahead, little Gibby. Can you see if you can find the word blot in that little dictionary you got there? Blot. B-L-O-T. Blot. Okay, so now I'll just give you guys the definition here. Again, generally, I use the 1828 Noah Webster's Dictionary. Here is the sixth definition. You guys know there's a ton of them, right? A blot could be defined as a spot, right? A spot or, if you will, a mark. But look at number six. In Scripture, to blot one out of the book of life is to reject him from the number of those who are to be saved, to blot out a name, a person or nation, to destroy the person or nation, to exterminate or to consume. To blot out sins is to forgive them. Sins are compared to debts, etc., etc. So, in other words, when something is blotted, it's another word for what? Erasing, removing. So that's what the word blot means, okay? All right. So now look at Numbers 5, and let's read together starting from verse 16. This is going to give you a visual representation of the word blot in action, even though it's not directly related to the book, which can blot one name. I'm just going to show you now, this is what that could look like. That's all I'm just going to help you out with. Okay, Numbers 5, 16. And the priest shall bring her near and set her before the Lord. The priest shall take holy water in an earthen vessel, and of the dust that is in the floor of the tabernacle, the priest shall take and put it into the water. And the priest shall set the woman before the Lord and uncover the woman's head and put the offering of memorial in her hands, which is the jealousy offering, and the priest shall have in his hand the bitter water that causeth the curse. And the priest shall charge her by an oath and say unto the woman, if no man have lain with thee, and if thou hast not gone aside to uncleanness with another instead of thy husband, be thou free from this bitter water that causeth the curse. But if thou hast gone aside to another instead of thy husband, and if thou be defiled, and some man have lain with thee beside thine husband, then the priest shall charge the woman with an oath of cursing. And the priest shall say unto the woman, the Lord make thee a curse and an oath among thy people, when the Lord doth make thy thigh to rot and thy belly to swell. Pretty hardcore, right? So what's going on? Here's a law for the nation of Israel. A woman is accused of being unclean. In other words, priest, I just got married. I think she already had relations with a man. So then God told them Jews, here's what you need to do. I need to get some dirt. I need you to get this water, and I'm going to have you proclaim a curse when the woman comes to the church meeting, if you will, where the priest is. Are you guilty or not? We're going to find out when you drink this stuff. If you are, you know what, girl? Your thigh is going to rot, and your belly's going to swell. All right. Look at verse 22. And that's how you know God ain't dealing with nobody through the law. Amen. Everybody on this planet be doggone dying right now, okay? Come on now. All right, now. And this water that caused the curse shall go into thy bowels, you know, the tripas, y'all know what that is, and to make thy belly to swell and thy thigh to rot. And the woman shall say, amen, amen. So now watch this. Look at verse 23. And the priest shall write these curses in a book, and he shall blot them out with the bitter water. And he shall cause the woman to drink the bitter water that caused the curse, and the water that caused the curse shall enter into her and become bitter. Now the priest shall take the jealousy offering out, it says here, sorry, I lost my place here, out of the woman's hand, verse 25, and shall wave the offering before the Lord and offer it upon the altar. And the priest shall take an handful of the offering, even the memorial thereof, and burn it upon the altar, and afterward shall cause the woman to drink the water. And when he hath made her to drink the water, and it shall come to pass that if she be defiled and have done trespass against her husband, that the water that causeth the curse shall enter into her and become bitter. Her belly shall swell, her thighs shall rot, and the woman shall be a curse among her people. And if the woman be not defiled, but be clean, then she shall be free and shall conceive seed. This is the law of jealousies. Jealousy. So when the Hebrews would get jealous, woman, if you were a Jewish female, okay, for you women in here, y'all had to drink that stuff. Isn't that wild? I'm just, you know, you Gentiles, y'all got it easy, amen. Ain't nobody causing you to drink some bitter water, amen. All right, so. But do you see there? Did you see what happened earlier? In verse 23, the priest shall write these curses in a book, and he shall blot them out with the bitter water. So they're written, and then they're what? They're blotted, they're removed. So now you get a visual. I'm helping you. of blotting. There you have it. Okay. Deuteronomy 9, 13 through 16. Furthermore, the Lord spake unto me, saying, I have seen this people. Behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Let me alone that I may destroy them and blot out their name from under heaven. Do you guys see that? So now let's go back to the screen here. Blot out their name from under heaven. And I will make of thee a nation mightier and greater than they. So I turned and came down from the mount, and the mount burned with fire, and the two tables of the covenant were in my two hands. And I looked, and behold, ye had sinned against the Lord your God, and made you a molten calf. Ye had turned aside quickly out of the way of the Lord, which the Lord hath commanded you. So Moses, again, rebuking the nation of Israel, Deuteronomy 9, 13 through 16. But again, here's another passage which helps further explain the idea of blotting out names. But now in this particular context, notice what it says, under heaven. So the earlier in Psalm 69, what was it? Blot out their name from the book of the living. Blot out their name from under heaven. Notice here, from under heaven. I just want you to see now, here is God being besought by Moses to blot out, if you will, and yet God told him, leave me alone. I'm going to do it myself, you know, get out of the way. So he told Moses that he would blot out their name from under heaven. Notice, from under heaven. However, to help us understand what is meant by under heaven, let's go back earlier to the event that Moses is rehearsing for what we call parallel contextual comparison. You say, Brother Carlos, that sounds fancy. Parallel. Just keep it like that. All you're saying is, hey, that's a reference to this over here. That's all. Okay. So let's read it now. Exodus 32, 9 through 12. The Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them. And I will make of thee a great nation. And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt, with great power, with a mighty hand, and so on and so forth. Notice specifically, what did God say? That my wrath may what? Consume them. And I will, and so on. Moses intercedes. The Lord repented of the evil later in verse number 14. He changed his mind. But, oh, by the way, here's a side nugget. Because God changed his mind in verse 14, what does that show? That God can change or modify his proposed plan of judgment when his free will creatures seek his mercy and prayer in the immediate offer time or space that he permits for their response. In other words, Moses, get out of the way. I'm going to take him out. We are sorry, God. We're sorry. Okay, I changed my mind. Isn't that good? Woo, there you have it. There's some free nugget. All right. But what do we observe? Blotting out their name under heaven is explained as destroying their physical lives while on the earth. Specifically, that generation of Israelites that sinned against him, which consequently we know did take place later. Later, we know the second generation survived, and hence the book of Deuteronomy speaks to the second generation of Israelites that were preserved. So remember, God did end up killing those particular Jews who had made the golden calf and completely started to sin against them after God got the law. So now what I want to show you, when God says that he will blot their name from under heaven, it is in reference to the immediate physical destruction of their lives while they're on the earth. We haven't even touched the book of life yet, but now I'm beginning to show you when God means to blot, it is to remove either the physical life while they're on the earth, or in the future time, which now we understand from the New Testament, entrance into heaven, hence being sent into hell, lake of fire, so on and so forth. Are you guys getting me so far with blotting out of the name? Anybody here have any questions, comments, or concerns so far? Anybody? Deuteronomy 25, 17 through 19 also expresses the idea of blotting out the name of the Amalekites from under heaven for their wicked deeds done against Israel during their exodus. Again, destroy their physical lives. Deuteronomy 29, 19 through 24 is a great passage to read on your own time. It is a great, it's great for spiritual application to us New Testament Christians. However, notice here the warning is not to ye, that is in the plurality, although Moses is speaking to all the second generation as a whole. Notice the warning is to the individual, he. Matter of fact, let's go there real quick. Let's go to Deuteronomy 19. Deuteronomy 29. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 29. This is going to be good. Let's read this one real quick. Deuteronomy chapter number 29. And let's read starting in verse number 19. So again, great application for us New Testament Christians. Let's see here, starting in verse 19. The Bible says here, "And it come to pass, when he heareth the words of this curse, that he bless himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of my heart, to add drunkenness to thirst. The Lord will not spare him, but then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke against that man, and all the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him, and the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven." Look at 21. "The Lord shall separate him unto evil out of all the tribes of Israel, according to all the curses of the covenant that are written in this book of the law." Side nugget. We've been studying Galatians. What did the Holy Spirit tell Paul to quote, to remind these Jews that they're not saved by the works of law? He used the term curses. What did God just tell Moses to tell these Israelites? In this law are curses. If that man does not do this, curse, curse, curse. Okay, that was free. Now let's keep reading. Look at 21. "The Lord shall separate him unto evil out of all the tribes of Israel, according to all the curses of the covenant that are written in the book of this book of the law." Verse 22, "So that the generation to come of your children that shall rise up after you, and the stranger that shall come from a far land shall say, when they see the plagues of that land and the sicknesses which the Lord hath laid upon it, and that the whole land thereof is brimstone and salt and burning, that it is not sown nor beareth, nor any grass groweth therein, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, Adma, Zeboim, which the Lord overthrew in his anger and in his wrath, even all nations shall say, wherefore hath the Lord done thus unto this land? And what meaneth the heat of this anger? The men shall say, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord God of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. For they went and served other gods and worshiped them, gods whom they knew not and whom he had not given unto them," and so on and so forth. That is great spiritual application. You say, why, Brother Carlos? You know what God said? You here today that are listening to my words, I'm gonna judge you individually. I will judge you individually for your personal in obedience or disobedience to my word. When people begin to look at your life and to say, man, what happened to that Christian? They used to go to church. They used to pray. They used to go soul winning. They used to do what God commanded them to do. What's going on with life? Another brother's going to say, you know why? It's because he forsook God. It's because she forsook God. That's why they're going through those difficult times in their life. Isn't it important, guys, to understand that we need to respond to God with our own individual responsibility? And look at verse 19 again, Deuteronomy 29:19. "And it came to pass, when he heareth the words of this curse, that he blessed himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of my heart." Foolishness. Doesn't that sound like Christians? They come to church. They used to come to church. Bless God, I'm praying, I'm having a good time, but I am still walking like a carnal man as soon as I leave those doors. I'm still walking in darkness when I still leave those doors. When no one's around me in my house, I'm watching the gods on TV, you know, Thor and Superman and Naked Man and Black Man and White Man and all those guys. And I'm still cursing at my spouse over here, and I'm still drinking some alcohol over here. You think God is not going to judge you individually? He will. That's good application, brother. That's good application, sister. But notice, he, individual. Later, the Lord said he will blot his name from under heaven. So notice here, the blotting out from under heaven is associated with destroying their physical lives while on the earth. That's the conditional response to these Israelites under the curses of the law. If anybody wants a cross-reference, we're not going to read it now, but just look to 1 Corinthians 10 and notice how the Holy Spirit writes to you, Christian, and he reminds you, Christian, of those disobedient Jews, so you don't do what they did. Don't bless God at church and in your heart want to continue to do everything that goes against God's book. Don't come to church and say, oh yeah, praise the Lord, pray and all this, read my Bible. I don't care if it's King James Bible or not. And at your house, you're still acting a different way. And your individual walk, you're still doing secret things and you're murmuring. And don't do that. Be real with God. But look, 1 Corinthians 10, look at what he said there in verse 1. He just tells them, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea. Again, he's making reference to all these Jews. Look at what he said in verse number 6. Now these were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Those Jews were idolaters, fornicators. They tempted, they murmured, they complained. Look at verse 11. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, and so on and so forth. So God took those Jews out. Christian, I'm not prophesying tonight. I'm not trying to say God's going to take you out. Of course not. All I'm going to say is that God will chastise you when you're living in disobedience. When you come to church, you put a front, but in your heart, He knows. You can't think that God is not going to see that. But I want you to see when he refers to blotting out from under heaven, it is a physical destruction of their life while they're on the earth. That's so far what I'm hoping you'll see. Okay, a couple of more references here. We're talking about, again, how God is dealing with the book of men's names written. When the Bible refers to the book of the living, showing you guys that right now. We are going to tie all this in installments. We'll get to the book of life later on. But as you guys can see now, in the end of the day, God is dealing with every individual on an individual basis. You see there, whoever doesn't hear and respond, he individually, singular. Okay, 2 Kings 14, 23 to 28. Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, began to reign in Samaria. He reigned 41 years and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Again, I want you to notice here the individual is in context, that man. And because of the evil deeds done prior by Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, Israel at this time in context was left in ruin spiritually and physically. And I want you to notice the threat from the Lord later in verse 27 that he proposed to bring about against Israel as a whole for the sins of its previous kings and the present king. You can read the backstory of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, in 1 Kings 11, and I have all the verses there for you guys online. You guys can read them later on. He introduced idolatry to the 10 tribes given him of God, and sadly, he sinned and failed to obey the word of the Lord. So, in 2 Kings 14, Jeroboam, the son of Joash, followed after the deeds of his previous forefathers. God saw the affliction of Israel. It was very bitter. Check it out in verse 27. And the Lord said not that he would blot out the name of Israel from under heaven, but he saved them by the hand of Jeroboam, the son of Joash. Now, did you read that correctly? The Lord said not that he would blot. Isn't that awesome? He was not going to destroy the remnant of the 10 tribes for their idolatry because of what? His mercy. He saved them by the hand of Jeroboam. Now check this out, guys. Even though he did evil, God still used this vessel to preserve the whole from physical destruction. So much for Calvinism, so much for all that, if you will, predestination stuff. Hence, within the hands of God is his book of the living. He can blot out names of living humans on the earth from under heaven or not to, based upon his mercy towards the hearts of men. So once again, that's a very good verse. Look at 2 Kings 14, 27. The Lord said not that he would blot. He's not going to do it. You say, Brother Carlos, now why is that important? Are you ready? Go to Revelation. This is good. Revelation. This is really good. Man, this is good. Just a couple more minutes, guys. Keep a couple more minutes. Revelation, last book in your Bible. I haven't gotten there yet, guys, but this is really good. There's a lot of folks out there that for some reason believe that Christians can lose their salvation. My wife and I were hearing a fellow on our way here. Won't name a church. I won't name who they are. But for some reason, they misinterpret the scriptures. And that's, they're just ignorant. Again, we already talked about that. When they put their faith on the Lord Jesus Christ, God obviously knows his word and he understands that individual heart. He will save them regardless of their ignorance, if you will. All right. But look at Revelation 3. Now, and then we'll correlate this with 2 Kings 14, 27. So watch this. Revelation 3, look at verse number 1. just so you guys can see who he's writing to. Unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that have the seven spirits of God, the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy, say with me now, anybody there? Revelation 3:2, anybody there? I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore, I know it was so hard. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Now look at verse 5. He that overcometh, the same shall be what? Anyone there? Revelation 3:5. Does anybody have a Bible? Amen. The same shall be clothed in white raiment. Now let's, Sister Eileen, let's read it carefully now. Let's read it together carefully, Sister Eileen. And what? I will. Out of what? Out of the book of life, but I will confess. So if you read that carefully, look at what Jesus said. I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before the angels. Did anybody see where Jesus said that he is going to blot out a Christian's name? Anybody read that in there? He's not. Revelation 3 does not teach that Jesus is going to blot out Christian's name from the book of life. He said, I will not. So now look at that, correlate that, and cross-reference that with 2 Kings 14:27. The Lord said not that he would blot out the name, etc., etc. So there you guys have it. That's another free lesson tonight. He did not say that he will. He said he won't. So Christians do not have to worry about their names being blotted out. Okay, last one, last reference, and we're going to close. In Nehemiah 4, we're back on the screen, so look up to the screen, guys. We're just talking about this real quick. Nehemiah 4:1-5, here Nehemiah uses the term blot in prayer to God, requesting that he would not blot out the iniquity of the Gentiles who are mocking them and God, and hence blotting is reference to recognition of man's sins and actions before him and God's memory of them before him. You can read that in verse 5 of Nehemiah chapter 4. Okay, last reference, Psalm 51. Here, David is requesting God to blot out his transgressions before God. And he appeals to the what? He appeals to the tender mercies. Let's read our Bibles now, Psalm 51. This will be our last reference for this evening. Psalm 51. Man, Sister Katie's spiritual. Y'all heard how hard she was turning those pages? Man, praise the Lord. She's on fire. Man, Sister Eileen, I need you to read your Bible more with her, okay, man? Amen. Psalm 51. All right, verse number 1 through 3. I'll read first, and then I'm going to popcorn Katie, and then Katie, you popcorn someone else. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Psalm 51, verse 3. Middle of the Bible there, brother, middle of the Bible, Psalm 51. Verse 3. So David is requesting God to do what, guys? Verse 1. Blot out my what? Transgressions. He is asking God to blot out his transgressions. And what is he appealing to God? What characteristics of God's traits? What is he appealing to? Yes, and all what else? According to thy? Okay, yep. Loving kindness, thy tender what? Mercies. He is asking God to blot out his transgressions. David's sins are clear before the face of God. Look at verse 4. Against thee, the only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. David acknowledges that his sin is before God and that he's aware of them. In verse 4, David declares that solely against God has he sinned. But sadly, there were consequences for his sins that others felt the effects of. For example, Bathsheba, physical, Uriah, physical, and his future born son, physical. Similarly, like God warned Israel through Moses back in Deuteronomy 9, his main concern and focus is for the heart of his people to be yielded towards him. The heart, the mind, the soul, and the strength are what the Bible describes as the inward parts. Now look at verse 7 through 9. Brother Joe, who are you going to popcorn for verse 7? Maribel, verse 7, Psalm 51. Maribel, go ahead and popcorn someone else. Gibby, verse 9. I'm sorry, verse 8, verse 8. All right, popcorn, go ahead. Verse 9. Okay, now we're almost done. Stick with me now. This can be real important. He asks God to purge him with hyssop. He asks God to wash him. He asks God to hide his face from his sins. Keep that in the back of your mind. And all his iniquities. King David requests for God's forgiveness, for he knows that God is the only one who can forgive sins. The law provided no benefit to King David's life for what his sins merited. He can only hope in the mercy of God to put his sins away from before the face of God. I want you to notice the direction of God's face, which speaks of his attention and direction of immediate knowledge. Brother Joe, go ahead and popcorn somebody for verse 10. Verse 10, go on. Mm-hmm. Okay, go ahead and popcorn something to verse 11. So here we have it. Here is how one's sins can be blotted out from before God. Here it is, guys. We're going to close on this note. This is real important. When the sinner humbles him or herself and comes to God with a broken and contrite spirit. I want you to look down in verse 17. Brother Joe, who are you going to popcorn? Contrite? I'll read the verse on the screen, Psalm 34:18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Brother Gibby already read verse 17. Isaiah 66, verse number 2. For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, say the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. So here we have it. Let me give you the final, if you will, lesson for tonight. Notice God's face. Notice the direction he chooses to look towards the sinner's heart solely and only when the sinner comes to God with a humble heart and exercises sincere and genuine repentance. He asks God to forgive his sins and have mercy towards him or her, and by faith, believing that God will. This is how our sins can be blotted out from before his face, and hence his book of records in regards to the book of the living. So as we come to a close tonight, I just want you to see now, God has a book, and we're just talking about the first half, right? We're just talking about Old Testament. We haven't talked about the Book of Life and all that other stuff. And in that book, what did he tell Moses? Whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Is that not what he said? So God has a book, and a name is written in that book. Whoever sins against God, God has the right as the creator and the judge to remove that man's name. What can help preserve that man's name? King David just told you. No. Mm-mm. What can help preserve that man's name? Anybody here tonight? Anybody? Okay. Look at verse 17 again. When he has a broken heart. When his spirit recognizes, God, I'm wrong. God, you're right. I've sinned against your word. I've sinned against your laws. What did King David do, guys? He had sex with a woman who wasn't his wife, and he had her husband murdered. The law didn't have nothing specifically concerning that, but the law would condemn him and kill him. So King David had only one last hope. He only could appeal to the what of God, the characteristic traits of God, the verse 1. Loving kindness and his tender mercies. So when God sees that sinner with a broken and a broken spirit, and they humbly ask God, God, forgive me for what I've done. I'm sorry. That's how God will have mercy concerning the name for the book of the living. Are you, anybody here? Anybody here? Amen. Okay. So now, moving forward, let me leave you with this last understanding, because this is very important. We have to build to get to the book of life and the Lamb's book of life. In the end of the day, here's what's most important for anybody here tonight. Obviously, all of us here tonight, but here's what's most important. We already read it, but we'll read it one more time. How can we have assurance that our name not only is in the book of life generally, where all human names are written when they are born into this world, but how can we have assurance of our salvation today concerning our name being added to the Lamb's book of life? Let's go ahead and read these verses again. We read earlier, 1 John chapter 5, verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. So before we close, how many of you at some point up until today have put your faith and trust in the name of the Son of God? Raise your hand. So, according to your God from your Bible, what does he remind you of in verse 13? That you have what? Because of what? In who? Bam, Gibby. You're getting extra toppings tomorrow, bro. I'm proud of you. So now, your name is not only preserved in the book of life, but your name has been added to a second book that we're going to talk about in weeks to come, the Lamb's Book of Life, not because of anything you ever did, not because of anything you can't do or won't do, but because you simply trusted God. You believed God. You trusted the Bible. When somebody said, this is how you can be saved, you exercise faith that this is God's word, and you exercise faith to believe that's God's Son. And when you ask the Son of God to save you, he does, and then he reminds you, hey, daughter, I know you've been messing up. Hey, son, I know you've been messing up, but I just want to remind you, you have eternal life. I ain't never going to let you go. So tonight, let's be motivated to serve our God for preserving our name in his book. Let us show him how thankful we are by our service to him in return, to do the best we can, even though we're going to make mistakes. We're not going to be perfect, Some of y'all said, I'm going to start reading my Bible every day, and y'all missed one day. It's all right. God still loves you because you trusted who? His son. Eternal life is not conditional based upon if you didn't read or read not your Bible. Soul win or didn't soul win. But if you know now how good he is to you and how he's going to preserve you, shouldn't that motivate you to want to do as much as you can for him in return? Should. So thank God that he preserves our name because of his love and the mercy that he's given us in his son Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the record you've given concerning your son Jesus Christ. Tonight, I am in agreement with everybody who raised their hand. We are so thankful, God, that you remind us that we have eternal life. We have confidence and assurance because of your mercy, your grace, your love toward us, that even when we were sinners, when I was lost out there in the world, God, when Giovanni was lost, when Joaquina was lost, when Maribel was lost, when Eileen was lost, when Katie was lost, when we were out there in the world messing up and doing whatever we were doing, as soon as we were ready to repent and turn to you and just ask your son to save us, we put our faith in the Bible that it was God's word. We put our faith in your son, believing he was who he said he was. And now we can safely have peace, knowing that we have eternal life because we've trusted you, God. We trusted your mercy. We trusted your grace. And like the psalmist said, your tender mercies, your loving kindness was poured out for us when your son Jesus died on that cross for our sins. So God, if we know now that our names are not only preserved in the book of life, but have been added to the Lamb's book of life, would you please help us to love your son so much more as every day passes, to be willing to do what he commanded us to do? Would you motivate us, God, to soul win with our church tomorrow? Would you motivate us, God, to come to church every Sunday, every time we get together? Would you motivate our marriages to be loving and obedient husbands to our wives and wives to our husbands? Would you motivate our children to be obedient to their parents and everything, God? Would you motivate us to do what you've commanded us to do? Thank you, Lord, for preserving our salvation. Thank you that we don't have to fear that our name might be removed, because it's not. We thank you, God, that you've written our name in the Lamb's book of life because we trusted and believed in your son, Jesus Christ. So God, tonight, would you please help us all to get back home safely? Help us to get good sleep so we can wake up tomorrow to have energy, ready to do something for Jesus, to go out into the city of Oceanside, to keep inviting people to church, but most of all, inviting them to trust your son. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Anybody have any questions, comments about tonight's study? Questions, comments? So quickly, Lamb's Book of Life. Ever since Jesus died for our sins and rose again the third day, there's a second book that people's names can be added to if they what? If they believe in Jesus. When they believe in Jesus, their names are added to the Lamb's Book of Life. So let me ask you, have you believed in Jesus? Do you believe he died for your sins? Do you believe he rose again the third day? Then your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. That simple. Does that make sense? Anybody else? Questions, comments? All right, church, I love you all. We're here for you. And Lord willing, we'll see you guys tomorrow. Amen.